Okay, so let's unpack this. We're doing a deep dive today into some source material that brings up something, well, pretty profound, almost a paradox, really. It's this idea that as you start to grow, as you heal, you might actually find, well, you lose people. The material puts it very directly. When you start to heal, people start to disappear. I mean, that sounds tough, right? Almost like you're being punished for doing something good for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And what's really fascinating, I think, is how that initial feeling, which you're right, could absolutely feel like a penalty, gets reframed. It's seen as a sign of deep growth instead. So that's what this deep dive is about, exploring those nuances, the realities of personal transformation. We're drawing directly from the insights and the material you mentioned. Our goal really is to pull out the key ideas about why this happens, why people might fade away, and maybe even more importantly, what you can actually gain from that solitude when you're on this healing path. It really turns some common ideas on their head.
It does. And the source uses this phrase, loud loneliness, to describe that initial feeling. Says it's unsettling, even physically uncomfortable sometimes. But then right away, it calls it transformation. There's a great example in there, too. The speaker, they decided to go back to college in their 40s. But here's the interesting part, the kicker, really. They did all the groundwork first, looked into the cost, the schedule, the courses, even talked to advisors, all before telling almost anyone.
Right. That's such a key detail.
Yeah.
They only told their husband initially, who was apparently supportive. It wasn't until after they actually registered, committed to it, that they told other people. And, well, just like the material predicts, that's when the doubts started coming from others. Are you sure about this? Or can you really handle that workload now? Shouldn't you just focus on your marriage? That kind of thing. And the source points out, these questions were about time, learning, commitment, things the person had already proven to themselves they could manage.
That motto they pull out, do the thing, then tell people. That feels, well, revolutionary, doesn't it? It completely flips how we usually go about big changes. We often look for that validation before we act. But it sounds really difficult to actually put into practice. How do you even start? Like, what are the first steps to build up that inner conviction to act without needing everyone else's okay first?
That's a really important question. And the material suggests something interesting here. It says often the voice is doubting you now. They echo the voices that doubted you when you were younger, maybe as a child. So if you haven't quite worked through those old patterns, needing that external permission or validation, you've probably, maybe unconsciously, invited similar dynamics into your adult life. Friends, partners, coworkers, even family. So practically speaking, it starts with noticing, like, whose approval am I actually seeking here? And then it's about gently but firmly turning that focus inward, building trust with your own gut feeling, your own capabilities. And it's really crucial to understand why people might fade out during this. It's because as you heal, as you outgrow the old roles you played, well, you don't fit their needs in the same way anymore. You no longer serve the version of them that maybe needed you to be smaller or quieter or more self-sacrificing. So fundamentally, it's often about their discomfort with your growth. It's not about you being inadequate.
Wow. Okay. That's a powerful thought. Their discomfort, not my inadequacy. So if that's why they step back, then what are you left with? Is it just emptiness? Or does something else fill that space?
Oh, it absolutely opens up a space, a different kind of space. And that space, according to the material, is for yourself. And this is where that really critical distinction comes in, the one you mentioned earlier. Being alone and being lonely are not the same thing. The source talks about how maybe there used to be a panic, a real fear at the thought of being alone. But now, through healing, there can be a genuine love for that space that's been created. It's not about isolation. It's presented as a pathway, really, to a deep kind of self-connection, radical self-connection, even.
Yeah, that distinction feels so vital, alone versus lonely. Okay, so what does that self-connection actually look like day to day? How does it feel, to meet yourself in that space that's opened up?
Well, what really comes through is a sense of liberation, freedom. The material describes it beautifully, I think, as learning to love, finding out what you genuinely like. Like, what books actually excite you? What food makes you feel good? What ideas do you enjoy thinking about just for yourself? It's about starting to make choices that aren't tangled up in what other people might think or expect. You could think of it as finally having the room, the mental space, the emotional energy to experiment, maybe to succeed, maybe to fail sometimes, but to grow without feeling like you're being pulled off course by someone else's agenda. If we zoom out a bit, it's about building an inner world, one that's so rich, so satisfying on its own, that you actually start to treasure the quiet moments you get to spend there. It's the shift from constantly looking outside for validation to truly accepting, maybe even celebrating who you are when nobody else is looking.
unburdened.
Okay. So yeah, looking back at our conversation, we've really traced this journey from that initial shock, maybe, of people pulling away, through that loud loneliness, to discovering this profound kind of freedom in meeting yourself. And that core idea that being alone and being lonely are not the same thing, that really seems to be the heart of it all. The ultimate payoff, it sounds like, is this space. Space for self-discovery. Space to figure out what you want, what lights you up. Making choices that are truly yours. It's like moving from feeling lost to finding yourself, maybe for the first time, really being yourself.
Exactly. And perhaps this, you, the listener, with an important question to reflect on after this deep dive. What does meeting yourself really mean for you personally? How might stepping into that quiet space, really embracing that solitude, how might that open up new paths for your own growth, your own freedom? Because the takeaway here isn't just about coping with loss. It suggests that preparing for solitude, for quiet, it isn't about bracing for loneliness. It's actually about preparing to become. It's framed as this continuous journey, right, of connecting with yourself, of radical self-acceptance, where every step you take in your healing is actually a step closer to becoming the fullest version of who you're meant to be.